So today we want to accomplish the sugya of Amida. Now, Amida here, just by way of introduction, breaks down into many different branches, you know, and it's going to get to a lot of different halachas. For example, you have to stand for Hallel, you have to stand for Kriyas HaMegillah, you have to stand for Kriyas HaTorah. You have to stand when you're learning Torah. Let's say, for example, a Rebbe is giving a shir. So we don't recognize the original halacha was that the Talmidim have to stand during the shir. That changed after the Churban HaBayis. So as I said, this question about standing, and we have copies also from here, I don't know if you have them or don't, is nogeya to the Kama Bukama Dinim. Now, when we talk about standing, we get into an issue of what's called lechatchila b'di'evet. There's some mitzvahs where lechatchila we require standing, but b'di'evet yotze b'yeshiva. We might have some dinim, some mitzvahs where the requirement of amida is absolutely critical. And if you fulfill that mitzvah, the yeshiva, you're not yotze. And the specific case that we'll have in mind here is kriyas haTorah b'tzibur. And we're going to see that Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur is a special Gzeres HaKosuv that Gemara derives here in Masechta Megillah to establish that Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur requires Amida. And that's critical. Now, is there an overlap between Kriyas HaMegillah and Kriyas HaTorah? Because Megillah, as I don't have to tell you, is part of Kisvei HaKodesh. So when we read the Megillah, at least in public, we're not just involved in the mitzvah Talmud Torah, but we're involved in Kriyas HaTorah. And that might add another dimension, another element in the equation as to why Amida would be critical. So let's begin with the Mishnah in Masechta Megillah. This Mishnah is actually the first Mishnah in the third Perek, and it's called Hakore Omed. And that's going to be on Daf Chof Aleph, Omed Aleph. The Mishnah says, Hakore es amegillah omeid v'yoshev. Now, there are two ways of learning this Mishnah. One way is to say that omeid v'yoshev means flip a coin. It doesn't matter one way or the other. The other way of reading the Mishnah is to say omeid. That's the real way of doing it. But yoshev is b'di'evad yotze. Now, if you fast forward to the Gemara, you'll see at the first line of the Gemara is to say the following. Tana, Masha ein kein b'Torah. And the Gemara, the sugya, immediately creates a contrast between Megillah reading and public Torah reading. Whereas Megillah reading is Yoshev is fine, or at least in the evidence certainly fine. In the case of Torah reading, we need Amida. And Amida, says Rashi, ein karm b'torah b'tzibur b'yushav. It's just no possibility of fulfilling this mitzvah of kriyas haTorah b'tzibur b'yushav in a sitting position. Minani mili, how do we know this? Omer Rabbi Avo, t'yomar krovi, ato po amod imadi. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to Moshe Rabbeinu at the time that he's transmitting the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu. And he says to Moshe, you have to stand imadi with me. Mm-hmm. So we see that In the transmission of Torah, we need Amida. Now, what we're going to try to analyze during the course of the next half hour or so is whether or not this is referring to Talmud Torah in general, or perhaps Moshe Rabbeinu was involved in something called Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur. Because again, Rashi says that Mashenki B'Torah means She'enkar B'Torah B'Tzibur Miyushav. And therefore, when the Gemara asks the question, Minani Mili, seeking a source for this, it must be seeking a source for the halacha of Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur. And yet, V'ato po amodi madi doesn't seem to be reflecting Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur. This was a private audience that Moshe Rabbeinu had with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which God transmitted the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, we would be more inclined to think that the drasha of Rabbi Avo is not answering the question Minani Mili the way Rashi formulates it, that we're talking about Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur, but rather we're talking about Talmud Torah in general. So let's imagine that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Rebbe, and Moshe Rabbeinu is the Talmud. The Talmud has to stand. He can't sit and receive the Torah from his Rebbe. But on the other hand, Rashi seems to clearly indicate that this sugya is focused on Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur. So we have now the question of the Turi Evan. And this you'll see on the pages that we photocopied on line 10 or so. He says, Otu Kriyas HaMegillah Minafka Michal Limura Torah. If we assume, for argument's sake, the Rabbi Avo's derivation from Viato Po Amodi Modi is Halacha in Limura Torah, then anytime we read the Megillah, we're basically learning Torah. And therefore, Havilon Lameva Deaf Bekriyas HaMegillah Ba'amido. So what's this whole Masha Ein Kein Bekriyas HaTorah? And why does the Mishnah say Kore Es HaMegillah Omed V'Yoshev? What happened to the element that I mentioned of Talmud Torah in Kriyas HaMegillah? Now Rashi says that we're talking about Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzivu. And Rashi says that as far as Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzivu, there's no possibility of Miyushav. That's completely rejected. So now the question is, the Gemara derives this halakha of Mashen Kim B'Torah from Amidas Moshe Rabbeinu. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to Moshe, he says, Atop Po Amodi Modi. There was no Tzivu there. We can only define that experience, that encounter, as Talmud Torah D'Yachid. It's not a public reading of the Torah. And if that be the case, then we don't seem to have an answer to the question Minolan. Rashi interprets the Minolan as referring to Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzivu. And the answer to the Gemara seems to apply to a Yachid, because Moshe Rabbeinu is receiving the Torah as a Yachid. In fact, the Gemara itself says that Miyamos, take a look at the Gemara here on Daf Chaf Aleph, about four lines up from the bottom, five lines up from the bottom, it says, Mishameis Ram Gamliel Batal Kvodat Torah. But if you go to the Braisa that's a little bit earlier on the Daf, let's say about eight lines up from the bottom, it says, Torah Rabbanon, Miyamos Moshe V'ad Ram Gamliel, Lohot, which the Rama, by the way, identifies Ram Gamliel as the period of Churban Abayis, Miyamos Moshe V'ad Ram Gamliel, Lohot Yulimedim Torah Elmi Umot. So when it was Batal Kvod Torah subsequent to the death of Ram Gamliel, then they allowed learning the yeshiva. But the whole sugya seems to be addressing the question of Talmud Torah. We're not talking about Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzivu. It's Tzarchin al Rashi. Now we're left with the question of Rashi. Rashi says that we're trying to derive the halacha of Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzivu that it requires Amida. How are we going to derive it from V'atop Amodi Madi? Atopo Amodi Madi, which is a reference to Talmud Torah in general. Now, Rashi assumes that Torah itself doesn't require Amida. It only requires Amida when it's Bifnei HaTzibur. That's how Rashi identifies or restricts this sugya. And if that be the case, then we're back really to the question that we asked before, that's Mikra Megillah. Why should we make any distinction between Mikra Megillah and Torah? In both cases, we're dealing with Talmud Torah. So let's say, for example, I would read the Megillah B'Yachid. Or let's say we have a group of people and it's not a Tzibur. Rashi clearly indicates, based on the Mishnah, you don't need Amida. And yet, L'chora, we should require Amida B'Torah's Torah. Whether it be because of the tzibur if we have a minyan, or even if it's not a tzibur because of the halacha of atah po amod imadi. So let's just summarize the following three points. Point number one is that Megillah does not require, Kriyas HaMegillah does not require amida. That's explicit in the Mishnah, and Rashi seems to assume there's absolutely no hair's breadth of a difference between whether you read the Megillah standing or you read the Megillah sitting. That's point number one. Point number two is in contrast with regard to Kriyas HaTorah, and Rashi identifies this as Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur, we have a requirement of Amida, and the Gemara actually derives that from a pasuk. We're not exactly sure why or how we derive this conclusion from the pasuk. The pasuk doesn't in any way seem to indicate Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur. Moshe Rabbeinu is receiving the Torah from Hashem. And point number three is that Talmud Torah in general, the sugya seems to assume, requires Amida, which leads us back to our original question: why doesn't Megillah have an overlap with Torah? And in that sense, Megillah should also require Amida. And yet the Mishnah says there's no difference between Yeshiva and Amida. The Rambam in Hilchas Talmud Torah actually codifies this halacha that existed before the Churban HaBayis, and that is that the Talmidim have to stand. And the Rambam writes, Ketzad Melamdim, how do we teach Torah? Harav Yoshev Harosh. And then the Rambam says, Berishona, meaning before the Churban HaBayis, Harav Yoshev HaTalmidim Omdim. And that's the way they were knowing before Churban HaBayis Sheni, that the Talmidim stand and the Rebbe sits. Now, we have another problem. As if we didn't have enough issues already in the Sugya, in the Gilda of Chafal, we have another problem over here in this Rambam, because the Pasuk itself, from which we derive the requirement of Amida, is Atah Po Amod Imadi. Imadi implies that the Shechina Kaviyachu is also standing. In other words, we don't have a Rebbe sitting and the Talmidim standing, or in this case, one Talmud standing, but rather both the Rebbe and the Talmud are standing. The Rambam says no, that even before the Churban, when they implemented the Halach of Amidah, that was only as far as the Talmidim was concerned, but not as far as the Rebbe. And if we derive the requirement of Amidah and Talmud Torah from Atah Amod, then we should have concluded that even the Rebbe has a mitzvah of Kavanat Torah, he too should stand. So on this we have a Parshas Drachim. Now, Rabosa, here I would like you to, if you have the photocopy that I handed out, I want you to see this Parshas Drachim inside, because it's quite a challenge just in terms of figuring out what he wants to say. Are you on page Reish Tadi Zayin?
Yeah.
Oh, so what I want you to look at, on the left column, if you drop down approximately 10 lines, I didn't count them.
Parshat Drachim is on.
Yeah, for Isi Parshat Drachim. Now, the Parshat Drachim is broken down into many different parts. But in one of this, he presents what he considers at least a cogent understanding of the Rambam. So that's what we want to study. It's his beer of the Das HaRambam. Oh. Now, in the case of Kriyas HaTorah, we have halacha, and that's the way Rashi formulated it, that Ein Korin B'Torah B'Tzibur B'Yushov, we have to be standing for Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur, and it's derived from the Pasuk V'Atah Po Amod Imadi. Says the Parshas Drachim, the after name of the V'Osom HaYomim, Shoyim Moshe Lomim V'Piyah Gvura, even if I'll grant you the following premise, that during that period of time that Moshe Rabbeinu was receiving the Torah mipiagvura, let's assume for 40 days and 40 nights Moshe Rabbeinu is receiving the Torah mipiagvura, hayalo din, please underline the next few words, hayalo din kriyas haTorah b'tzibur. Now again, the Parshas Drachim at this point doesn't give us a clue as to why that has the din of Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur. Moshe Rabbeinu is receiving the Torah, there's no one around, no one to the left, no one to the right. Where's the Tzibur over here? But in any event, let's, for the time being, grant the Parshas Drachim this premise, because again, if you don't accept this premise, we're in deep trouble with Rashi over here, because Rashi says the whole derivation is to establish the requirements of Amida at the point of Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur. How does this derivation relate? So let's grant that Moshe Rabbeinu had a din of Tzibur. Maybe we could say that Moshe Rabbeinu here is representing the Tzibur. Okay. He says, Imi Moshe, if we're deriving the halacha of Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur from Moshe, and I grant you that Moshe is somehow an experience of Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur, but a Moshe, we should still say, Deshaini Moshe. In other words, we don't really have to have a basis, so to speak, a justification of deriving this bombastic halacha of Amido b'kriyas haTorah b'tzibur from Moshe, because Moshe is different. Why? Mishum kach hu hadin shetalmid omid b'shashu lomid. In other words, we can never really prove conclusively anything about kriyas haTorah b'tzibur from the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, because I can always counter and say that Moshe Rabbeinu had a din of a talmid. So it has nothing to do with Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur, but rather Moshe's status as a Talmud. He's receiving the Torah that's transmitted to him from Hashem. Shehu Lomed. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu would hear the Torah and then he would review it. He was really studying Torah. And the Gemara says, as we saw the Braisa, that b'tchila, before the death of Rav Gamliel, hayu lomdim ma'umad. Al b'kriyas haTorah, asks the Parshas Drachim, minolan, how do we know that you need Amida? Okay? So now the Parshas Drachim is going to pull a fast one. He's going to pull a rabbit out of his hat. Because at this point we're really in trouble. Any derivation you have from Moshe Rabbeinu can always count to that. That has the din of a Talmud. And we saw that a Talmud in the original historical period had to stand in front of his Rebbe. Says the Parshas Drachim. Let me throw out another possibility. Mimasha Kasuv Imadi. The extra word Imadi is going to be the key over here. That's going to give me a whole new opening, because if we're going to interpret this pasuk in Moshe Rabbeinu as referring to Moshe as a Talmud, the word imadi makes no sense, because the halacha is that a Rebbe sits and the Talmidim stand. In this case, the word imadi indicates that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachu was standing as well. The Af HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'amida. Says the Parshas Drachim, Hanichi Amrin de Masha Amru Betchila, Hayulom de Ma'umad Lo Koikim Al Litalminin, Aval Rav Yoshev. If we assume, which is a very solid assumption, certainly in the context of the Rambam, that the Rav himself is sitting, the Talmidim are standing, Aval Rav Yoshev, Imkain Al Kochach Masha Hoya Af HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'amida, what's the justification? How do we explain that HaKadosh Baruch was also likewise standing, and we derive that from the Pasuk Imadi. Eino midin Rav Hashonu L'Talmid, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch was standing could not be justified by the din of teaching Torah on a level of Talmud Torah to Talmidim, because the Rebbe doesn't have to stand. So why is HaKadosh Baruch standing? Ela, but rather midin Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur, the only way we can justify that HaKadosh Baruch had to stand was because HaKadosh Baruch was reading the Torah in front of the tzibur. Again, there's only one person there in that tzibur, Moshe Rabbeinu, but he somehow is representing the tzibur. That's why Hashem stood. So now it comes out that this one pasuk really splits into two directions, and it teaches me two different things. On one level, Moshe Rabbeinu is receiving the Torah as a Talmud sitting next to his Rebbe, so he has to stand. And that's why Moshe is standing. On another level, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is transmitting the Torah publicly to all of the Tzibur of Klal Yisrael, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to stand. Is Mizeh Hochiach HaRambam She'af B'tchila Hoya Rav Yoshev V'atalmidim Omd. So again, according to the approach of the Parshas Drachim, it comes out that there are two different dinim over here. There's the Amida of Moshe Rabbeinu and the Amida of HaKadosh Baruch. The Amida of Moshe Rabbeinu is midin Talmud, and a Talmud, when he's studying Torah, and if the Torah is being transmitted to him, has to stand. Here it doesn't matter how many people are receiving the Torah, whether it's 10 people and a tzibur, whether it's less than 10 people, or even if it's one person, he has to stand. Now we have another halacha here, and that's the Amida of HaKadosh Baruch. That's not the din Talmud Torah, because we never found, and the Rambam rejects this idea that the Rebbe has to stand for teaching Torah. Then it must be generated by a new din, and that requirement of Hashem standing is midin kriyas haTorah b'tzibur. So that this one pasuk really is the source for two different dinim. So on the one hand, we understand now the minolan, which according to Rashi means minolan. How do we know that in Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur, Yeshiva is out of the question? It must be Amida, and that we're going to learn from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Amida. On the other hand, the Gemara is going to derive from this Pasuk Talmud Torah that when the Talmidim learn Torah at the feet of the Rebbe, they have to stand. And Memela, we have the Din of Talmud Torah. So there are literally two different Dinim that the Gemara is deriving from one same Pasuk. So it's not coincidental that on the one hand this is the answer to the question of minani mili, and on the other hand it's also going to be Amar Rabbi Avol Binayin L'Rab Shalom Yeshev. Okay, fine. Tana Rabban Rabbi Yossi Shalom Lo Hayol Made Him Torah El Me'uba. That the Talmidim would stand. The Gemara's Yitzchak is still bothered by this because you're going to tell me that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Amida was Midin Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur. Where is the Tzibur?
This is one.
That he never, you know, the Parsha Drach never addressed that question. We tried to suggest that maybe Moshe Rabbeinu here is representative of the Tzibur, but he's not happy with that.
I never mentioned Imodi. How can he be arrived from the HaKadosh Baruch Hu standing? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everything.
Right.
Sitting in this.
Right. So I would answer you the following, that Torah always has to be understood on two levels, on what we call derivations and halachas, the way we, you know, there are certain rules and regulations by which we derive halachas, and then you have to understand Torah in a broader sense. I would call it almost philosophical, hashkafadit. So now we have to ask the question on hashkafa level, what does it mean, imadi? You know, was HaKadosh Baruch Hu standing? I mean, the whole concept. And over and over again, you find with the Rambam dedicated one third of his Mor Nevuchim to this very question. Wherever you turn in the Torah, the Torah describes the divine being as a physical standing and sitting and smelling and this, that, and the other thing. So Rambam, as I said, worked overtime to try to explain that. But on a level of what we call derivation of Yalfusas, if it's clear in the pasuk that Hashem stood, we have to derive dinim from that. Now you're asking a philosophical question that has to be addressed too. I mean, it can't be that Hashem is standing. Hashem doesn't have a physical body. So he wants to say the following. We're up to a paragraph called Vahanira. Do you have that?
Yeah.
Okay. Until now, we've been assuming that the halacha of Amida reflects what we call kavod. Now, in the case of a Talmud, it's covered for the entire enterprise of learning Torah. In the case of Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur, that's what we call Kavod HaTzibur. So we have an additional element here of Kavod HaTzibur. So he wants to put this on the side and reject it. He says, the Yesod Din Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur Boy Amida Ein Zemidin Kavod HaTzibur. It's not a halach and tzibur, because if it was halach and tzibur, then obviously it would have nothing in common with a transmission of Torah. Transmission of Torah is not a halach of kavod tzibur. There, amida has to do with the kavod Torah. And that's why the Gemara says that after Rav Gamliel died, it says, well, I'm not finding it right this second. But anyway, it says Batal Kavod HaTorah. Does anybody see that? Okay, we'll find that.
Right here.
You have it? Oh, where is it? I'm sorry. Oh, there it is. Excellent. Thank you so much. I don't know why my eye didn't catch it, because I got stuck on the Holy Leola of you. So if you count five lines up from the Gemara, from the bottom of the Amid, it says Batal Kavod HaTorah. So we have two different concepts here, which separate these two halachas fundamentally. One halach is Kavod HaTorah, and that's the fundamental basis for Talmidim standing when they're learning Torah. And it has nothing to do with Tzibur, even B'yachid. And then we have another halach of Kavod HaTzibur in the case of Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur. So the Gemara Yitzchak says that's going to lead you to naught. That's going to give you problems. Why? Because if you make this fundamental distinction, then you'll never understand how these two halachas overlap and are derived from one pasuk. And not only that, you'll never figure out how Imadi means HaKadosh Baruch Hu standing is a reflection of Kavod HaTzibur. I mean, where's the Tzibur that you have to be Mechavi? Ki'im, but rather, and this is what you want to underline and highlight here, Dezed Midin Midine Kriyas HaTorah. So there's Halach of Torah, and we have to derive the halachas of Kavod HaTorah. And in the case of Kriyas HaTorah, because of the kavod that we have for the Torah, we need Amidah. But what is Kriyas HaTorah? There's Limud HaTorah and there's Kriyas HaTorah. In both cases, we have a fundamental requirement of Kavod.
Yeah.
And that expresses itself in Amidah. what's the distinction now between Kriyas HaTorah on the one hand and Limud HaTorah on the other? That Kriyas HaTorah exactly requires a tzibur. When a person on a level of a yachid, as an individual, reads the Torah, that's not called Kriyas HaTorah, that's called Limud HaTorah. But again, the fundamental machayev here is one and the same, that the Amida is a reflection of Kavod HaTorah. And in order to illustrate this, he quotes a Yerushalmi here in Masechta Megillah. The Yerushalmi says, Ein korin b'Torah pachos me'asara. Okay, now watch what happened over here. We started with a minyan. Let's say we had only 10 people, and one person drops out. What would you say in such a case? We're down to 9.
Finish what you started.
Excellent. Hischilu basara, yotzu miktsasim, gomrim. Now, in the case of gomrim, where's your tzibur? So if you're going to tell me that this halacha of Amida is a reflection of tzibur, because Kriyas HaTorah is a mitzvah of tzibur, then how could you read the Torah and fulfill that mitzvah when there's no tzibur, just because they started with the tzibur? And gomru b'pachos me'asara. So there's no tzibur. At this point, you're going to have to drop the requirement of kavod tzibur. Are you going to say that now everybody could sit down? No, there were 10 people when we started the Kriyas HaTorah. One guy drops out. Let's all sit down. No, we're going to still require Amida. So the Gvuras Yitzchak wants to prove from this that the requirement of Amida is not Halach and Kavod HaTzibur, but it's Halach and Kriyas HaTorah. Now, Kriyas HaTorah could start with 10 and continue with 9. So you still have the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. You can fulfill that mitzvah, because that's what the Yerushalmi establishes, that once the Shem Tzibur was Chal, the Kriya itself now becomes an entity that continues, bless you, continues to have that same status as a Kriyas HaTorah Tzibur, even though we don't have a Tzibur anymore. But certainly there's no mitzvah of Kavod HaTzibur. When we call Makom, Nibay Amida, we still continue and require Amida. We're not going to say, well, clap off a tish, let everybody sit down. And now, we go back to the Rambam in Hilchas Tefillah. That's where the Rambam codifies the halachas of Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur. And the Rambam says that there are special dinim for the last 8 psukim in the Torah. And with regard to the last 8 psukim in the Torah, you're allowed to read those psukim without a minyan. Here's a case of Kriyas HaTorah without a tzibur. What it means is that a yachid is reading the last 8 psukim, you can't talk about kavod HaTzibur just because there's one person reading the Torah. And nevertheless, we're still going to require Amida, because again, as long as it's categorized as Kriyas HaTorah and you fulfill that mitzvah, whether or not there's a minyan there, whether or not in actuality there's a tzibur, there may have been a minyan when we started, or maybe in the last 8 psukim we never had a minyan to begin with, we're still involved in the enterprise called Kriyas HaTorah. And Kriyas HaTorah requires Amida, not because of tzibur. Now we can come back and shed a light on the Parshas Drachim. How is it possible that we derive 2 conclusions from the same pasuk, 2 dinim from the same pasuk? That it means that even if Moshe Rabbeinu was receiving the Torah as a yachid, so to speak, meaning there was no one else around, there was no tzibur there when Moshe Rabbeinu was studying the Torah as it was transmitted from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore there's no din of kavod HaTzibur, and yet paradoxically we're going to derive from this the halacha that Kriyas HaTorah requires Amida. How can you derive Amida from a Kriyas HaTorah when there was no tzibur? The answer is your premise when you ask this question is that the requirement of Amida is based on kavod HaTzibur, but that's not so. It's based on Kriyas HaTorah but not on kavod HaTzibur. And therefore, when Moshe Rabbeinu receives the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Torah din v'toras kriyas haTorah al mashalomad HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mashalimed HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe shayedin kriya miyuchedes mehaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe. So again, you'll ask me, as we asked and we objected to the Parshas Drachim, how could it possibly be that Moshe Rabbeinu is experiencing a Kriyas HaTorah b'tzibur, when there is no tzibur there, the answer is Kriyas HaTorah is an entity that doesn't require a tzibur. We saw in two cases that there was no tzibur, and yet we were involved in Kriyas HaTorah. We required Amida. Here's another case, a third case of Kriyas HaTorah, which requires Amida as such, even though there's no tzibur, and there's no kavanat tzibur. That's the case of Moshe Rabbeinu. Shahaya din kriya miyuchedes me'akadosh baruch hu le'Moshe, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kamiyachol reading the Torah in front of Moshe, so that from Moshe's perspective it's limud haTorah, because for him it's brand new, but from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective he's reading the Torah. You understand what I mean by reading the Torah? Even though Dvarim Shemitzav Yata Rashay Lomer Val Peh, I don't know if he saw it in a, he with a capital H saw it in a Sefer, but that's called Kriyas HaTorah. Again, there are two directions here. There's one direction of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe, and the opposite. HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe is a Kriya. As far as Moshe is receiving the Torah is concerned, that's a Limud Torah. In both cases, we're going to require Amida for the very, very same reason. And that's Kovod HaTorah. D'vahach din Kriya miyuchad lo nemar asara, eladina lekros miyachid. Where do we find the precedent for a din kriya b'yachid, that it's not Talmud Torah, but it's a kriya? So we found it in those two cases, in the Yerushalmi where he started with a minyan, now one dropped out. Or in the case of the Rambam in Hilchas Tefillah, vis-a-vis the last eight psukim, there was no requirement of tzibur. So we have a din kriya without a tzibur. And that's exactly what happened at the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu read the Torah, if I can use that word, read the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu. There's no requirement of a minyan, of a tzibur, yet it's a kriya. V'shem kriya satorah Allah, even though it's not being read in front of Asara. Lekach, hoyesham din amida. And now we can derive the din of amida in kriya satorah. But on the same time, Moshe Rabbeinu is standing. He's standing because he's receiving Torah, meaning he's studying Torah. Correct? He's not involved in Kriyas HaTorah, he's involved in Limud Torah. Hence, we derive two conclusions from the same fossil. And now we can swing back to Rashi. Rashi said that the Masha'en came to Torah, the contrast which the Gemara presented between Kriyas HaMegillah and which doesn't require Amida, and Kriyas HaTorah, which does require Amida, Rashi says we're talking about Kriyas HaTorah b'tzibur. And then we can ask the question, well, how do we derive that from Moshe? Moshe was a yachid, he wasn't a tzibur. And not only that, the Gemara derives from this Yalfusa that the most Moshe Rabbeinu ain l'meinim Torah el b'yeshiva, and that's a din in Talmud Torah, that's not a din in Kriyas HaTorah b'tzibur. So this whole derivation from Atop Po Amodi Modi is very difficult. The answer is that if we assume, again that's a big jump, that Rashi accepts the Rambam, which means that in terms of transmitting Torah from a Rebbe to a Talmud, it's only the Talmud who has to stand, but not the Rebbe. The Gemara is deriving from Moshe Rabbeinu as a Talmud that when he studied the Torah that Hashem transmitted to him, he stood. That means that even though he's a yachid and he's involved in his private study of Torah, he nevertheless had to stand. That's Kavod HaTorah. However, as far as the Rav is concerned, there's no din of Talmud Torah. Then we have to ask ourselves, so why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu stand? And the answer is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was involved in the din and the implementation of Kriyas HaTorah, and Kriyas HaTorah requires Amida. Now let's swing back to Megillah. Where does Megillah fit into this whole thing? Now, Megillah doesn't require a tzibur. We pass it like Rav, that Kriyas HaMegillah you could accomplish even b'yachid. So he says the following. This is the last paragraph, last two lines going on to the next page. Hine, b'Megillah nikres b'yachid. V'af b'yachid, yesh Allah shem v'toras kriya. In other words, let's ask the following question. We're reading the Megillah. Does the Megillah now have a Torah's Kriya? If it has a Torah's Kriya, then we should require Amida. The Mishnah says we don't require Amida. And the answer is, because we're going to take Kriya's Megillah and we're going to categorize it under another dimension. That's what he says here on the top of the next page. That we're talking about Pirsum HaNes. We're not talking about Kriyas HaTorah. In other words, you might have said that Megillah, insofar as it's part of Torah, it generates a status of Kriyas HaTorah. And even though it can be read V'yachid, we saw already many, many precedents to the fact that there is such an entity called Kriyas HaTorah V'yachid. And then Megillah would require Amidah. But the answer is no. When we're reading the Megillah, even though it is Torah, but we're not reading it as Torah. Do you remember, Rabosa, we discussed a similar concept yesterday or the day before, I don't remember what it was, when we spoke about like reading Karbanos on Tisha B'Av. You know, certain times we read the Torah, but we're not reading it B'Torah's Torah. We're reading it B'Torah's Pirsum HaNes. The miracle is embodied and encoded in the Megillah. And for this we have the sugya that we've quoted on numerous occasions in Megillah Daf Yud Ches. The Gemara asks, what's going on here? You're talking about Lozi, he doesn't even speak Lashon Kodesh, he doesn't understand the Megillah, what kind of meaning, what kind of significance is there to Megillah in the case of Lozi? So then the Gemara turns around and says, and what about Noshim and Amayoritz? They don't understand the Megillah. What about we? We don't understand the Megillah. The words of the Megillah we don't understand. So the Gemara's final bottom line is that there's a mitzvah of Kriya and Persume Nisa. That we read it, and hopefully through that reading we'll achieve Pirsum HaNes. Rashi over there, Daf Yud Ches, says that we'll ask around, you know, from the Yodei Dover, and they'll tell us about the sequence of events and the great miracle. Avol Ha Mias Lo Shani Megillah Mishar Kriyas HaTorah Shemitzus Kriyasa Basora Ubepachas Misora Ein Torahs Kriya Lo El Limud Bi Alma Lefi Zeh Reyasi Shaper Hada Megillah Nikres Bi Yeshiva V'lo Tikshi Atu Kriyas HaMegillah Nafka Miklal Limud HaTorah. In other words, as far as Kriyas HaTorah is concerned, fine. You know, what you're assuming is that this doesn't have the status of Kriyas HaTorah. First of all, there aren't 10 people there, and you're reading it for Yochid. And moreover, it doesn't have the Torah's Kriya, because you're not reading it as Kriya, you're reading it as Kriya for the purpose of Pirsum HaNes. Based on that, we can answer another question. Well, even if it's not Kriyas HaTorah, I can still object and say, well, I need Amidah because of the halacha of Talmud Torah, of Limud Torah. Right, when I hear the Megillah, I'm learning Torah. And he says, the Afgav lo nafka michal limud haTorah, but limud haTorah lo boy harav yamon michal din amidah shel balakore hu halacha behilchas kriyas haTorah. In other words, if you're going to require reading of the Megillah on the part of the balakore, that he should be standing, and why should he be standing? Well, the only reason he should be standing is because of kriyas haTorah b'tzibur. As far as being a rav who's transmitting the Torah, we never require the Rav to stand. Ukriyas HaMegillah ain't shame Kriyas HaTorah Allah v'lechein lo boy Amidah. Now, if I understand correctly, at this point he's saying that Mimonav Shach, there's no requirement of Amidah in Kriyas HaMegillah. If you're going to talk about Kriyas HaTorah as an entity unto itself, so we're going to say, no, we're not reading a B'Torah's Kriyas HaTorah, but rather B'Torah's Persumei Nisa. And if you're going to talk about Limud Torah, then the requirement of Amidah and Limud Torah does not apply to the Rav. He doesn't have to stand. Ubazel si shapir ma'ida tana masha enkin b'Torah v'lo tikshi shim Torah lo boy Amidah ela b'tzibur mishum kovet atzibur lo gam b'megila neymak shikori b'tzibur boy lamon mifnei kovet atzibur. But no. Hadi omed b'tzibur eno mishum kovet atzibur midin kriyas haTorah. And in the case of Megillah, we don't have a shame. We don't classify it as Kriyas HaTorah. Al Megillah Nikres B'Yachid V'Ein Mitzvahs of Mitzvahs Kriyas HaTorah Mitzvahs Pirsum HaNes. And therefore there's no din of Amidah. As far as Kriya of Pirsum HaNes, there's no requirement of Amidah. Af Kshe Nikres B'Tzibur, you might ask me, but what happens when I read the Megillah in front of Asara? That's not a requirement, but let's say there is a minyan there. The answer is it has the same status as Kriya of a Yachid. Nothing changes. So it's only because of the mitzvah of Pirsum HaNes. Now the only thing I'm missing here, but maybe I skipped that line, is what about Talmud Torah? Just 1 second, let me just say, I want to see if I skipped a line. Hare Asi Shapa Adam Megillah Nikres Bi Yeshiva Yishud Yafgav Dolo Nafka Mechlau Liman HaTorah is believing that Torah lo boy Sharav Yamud. Bechol din amida shel bal hakori. I don't know. I don't see it here. I think we have to add a little something here, because at this point there's a line missing. Maybe it's here and you'll find it for me, but I don't see it. I think what he's saying is that once we have established and classified Kriyas HaMegillah as Pirsumei Nisa, then it's not what you'd call an endeavor, an enterprise of Talmud Torah. But again, it's a little problematic, because he says that the Rav, who's represented here by the Baal Koreh, doesn't require, there's no requirement of Amida. So in this paragraph, on the left, on the bottom left of this paragraph, he seems to be assuming that Kriyas HaMegillah does have an element of Limud Torah. So if I'm not mistaken, in the next Simon, he's going to address this issue. Because if you take a look, Rashi doesn't differentiate between Lechatchil and B'dieved. Yeshiva and Amida are exactly equal. However, Rabbeinu Chananel says that HaKorei HaMegillah, that's line 5, is Omeid V'yoshev Yotza. Now the word Yotza sounds like B'dieved Yotza. The Torah says it explicitly, HaKorei HaMegillah Omeid V'yoshev Yotza, but B'dieved Lechatchil lo yeshev lo yikra yoshev. U'b'yushalmi Paragimel Ka'omer Dafil Lechatchila. So that supports the sheet of Rashi. Hare Svile L'Arvenu Kanal V'atur D'Lechatchila Lo Yikra B'Yeshiva. If it's up here, time in the Milsa, why shouldn't he read it L'Chatchila B'Yeshiva? And furthermore, the language of the Mishnah, Omei V'Yoshev, sounds like they're all the same. There's no din here of L'Chatchila. So now, once again, he goes through the same sugya that we mentioned numerous times. And the Gemara's final conclusion is Mitzvah's Kriya U'Pirsumei Nisa. And here he quotes from Beryl Soloveitchik on page Shin, who says that the Mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah has two elements to it. Number one, it's a Mitzvah of Pirsum HaNes, and number two, it's also at the same time a Din of Talmud Torah. And the Mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah, under the category of Talmud Torah, requires Amida. Again, when we say requires Amida, the question is, does that apply Bizman HaZeh? Now, we said that Bizman HaZeh, it was Batal Kavod HaTorah, so we learned Torah B'Yeshiva. But in the ideal situation, we would learn Torah B'Amida. And therefore, when the tour and Rabbeinu Chananel before the tour insist that Lechatchila we should be standing for Kriyas HaMegillah, that's a reflection of the Kavod HaTorah that existed at the time of Rav Gamliel, meaning up to his death. So let's read it inside. He says, "De mitzvahs." This is line 4. De mitzvahs Kriyas HaMegillah chal beitarte chad mitzvahs kriya. Shedin kriyasa hu mishum Talmud Torah, k'mo kol mitzvah de kriyas haTorah shiso mitzvasa milasa de Talmud Torah. The shein is din b'fnei atzmo shel pirsum nisa. V'hinei b'daf chaf alif, ma she'ein ki b'torah minani mili, goes through the whole sugya. U'lefi zenir di yeshlom di yisod shitas haTor, and you can add Rabbeinu Chananel, shel chatchila lo yikra megillah v'yishiv the svilei leTor. So remember we said before in the name of Rav Beryl Soloveitchik, there are two dimensions to Megillah. One is Kriyas HaTorah, B'Torah is Talmud Torah, and the other is Pirsum HaNes. As far as Pirsum HaNes is concerned, there's no requirement of Amida whatsoever. But as far as Mikra Megillah, as Kriyas HaTorah, then L'Chatchila we should be reading it by Amida. Achein zel gak din Kriyas HaMegillah mishum Talmud Torah, homi din Kriyas HaMegillah mishum Pirsum HaNes, Here, even the Torah would admit that there's no difference between Amida and Yeshiva. So when we ask the question of Amida, is it meaningful? Is there any requirement whatsoever of Amida b'Megillah? Then what we have to do is we have to break down this question into two dimensions of Megillah. If Megillah is Pirush HaMidos, the answer is no. There's no relevance whatsoever, significance to Amida. But if Kriyas HaMegillah has an additional dimension, and that is Talmud Torah, it's Kriyas HaTorah, then at least l'chadchil, you have to grant me there should be an Amida, and that's what the Torah in fact says. So when the Mishnah says HaKriyas HaMegillah Omeid V'Yoshev, and the Mishnah doesn't seem to make any difference between the two, as if to say even yeshiva is okay l'chadchila, that's because the Mishnah is focused on the kiyum of Pirush HaMidos. So if you take a look three lines up before the end of the page, he says, Hashmienu, the Mishnah wants to be machadish to me that in the din of Kriyas HaMegillah, as Pirush HaMidos, there's no difference between Amida and yeshiva is okay even l'chadchila. The Mishnah is not addressing the other din, the other dimension, that there's a kiyum of Kriya Mishum Talmud Torah, and therefore l'chadchila should read it be'amida. So let's just summarize what we've been studying until this point. Number one, as far as the sugya is concerned, on Daf Chaf Aleph, we have developed based on the Parshas Drachim a complex Yalfusa from Ata Po Amodi Modi. Complex in the sense that it works in two different directions. One is from the direction of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe, and the other is from Moshe to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is going to generate two different dinim. One din from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe is the din of Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur requiring Amida, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Korei B'Torah, midin Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur had to stand. The other din of Moshe Rabbeinu sitting, that's a din of Talmidim who are studying Torah at the feet of their Rebbe, they have to stand. In the case of Kriyas HaTorah, you could ask the question, well, where's the Tzibur? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not teaching Torah to the Tzibur. He's not reading the Torah for the Tzibur. The answer is Kriyas HaTorah exists as an entity, even if there is no Tzibur. And we gave a number of proofs. Number one, the Yerushalmi that says if you started without a minyan, you continue with a minyan. Number two, the last eight psukim in the Torah, the way the Rambam formulates it, you don't need a Tzibur. And now what we're saying is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu reading the Torah in front of Moshe Rabbeinu is a Kriyas HaTorah without a Tzibur. Fine. So we derive two different halachos from this pasuk. Okay, that's as far as Kriyas HaTorah is concerned. Oh, now, as far as Megillah, we're saying that Megillah doesn't have the status of Kriyas HaTorah. And we can understand that on one level, but we're still perplexed on another level. On the level of Kriyas HaTorah, so we could say the following, that since Megillah can be read b'yachid, and since the essence and the goal of the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah is not Kriyas HaTorah, but rather Persumei Nisa, therefore we don't require Amida at all. But the element that still needs addressing is let Kriyas HaMegillah be like Talmud Torah. And as far as Talmud Torah is concerned, you would need Amida. And the answer is, that's what he develops here in this Siman, that Rabbi Chananel of the Tur insists the L'chadchila you do need Amida. The Mishnah and the Gemara equate Amida and Yeshiva. The answer is the Mishnah and the Gemara are addressing Kriyas HaMegillah b'Torah Pirush HaMidos. And as far as Pirush HaMidos is concerned, there's absolutely no difference between Amida and Yeshiva. But based on Rav Beryl Soloveitchik, we came to the conclusion that Kriyas HaMegillah has another dimension to it, in which it's Kriya of Torah, it's no difference than any Talmud Torah. To obtain that cue, we would like l'chadchil that it should be Amida. And that's the requirement, according to the Tur, Rav Chananel, of Amida l'chadchila for Kriyas HaMegillah. By the way, I've never seen this with my eyes. Have anybody ever seen this? No. I've never seen that people stand for Kriyas HaMegillah. But again, the Torah and Rabbeinu Hananel seem to insist that that's what we should do. And now we're up to the Magen Avraham, who says in Or Chaim Siman Kuf Mem Aleph that Kriyas HaTorah requires Amida, and the Magen Avraham quotes the Bach that if he reads the Torah publicly in a yeshiva position, lo yotzav etzorch latzav alikros. However, the Beis Yosef quotes Rashi, who insists that the requirement of Amida and Kriyas HaTorah B'tzibur is only l'chatchila, but the Eved is Yotze. So according to the Magen Avraham and the Bach, standing for Kriyas HaTorah is absolutely critical. But he says, Yesh machlokas rishonim b'kriyas HaTorah b'alma k'shekara b'yeshiva b'dieved yotze. Would he fulfill his mitzvah b'dieved in a yeshiva position? So the Torah says, lo yotz afil b'dieved. And that's what we saw in the Bach. The e name of the Sri Lele Hatur, Shemikra Megillah Ispe Mitzvahs Kriya Mishum Loss of the Talmud Torah. Now let's get back to Rebel Soloveitchik. And the reason why the Torah said that in Kriyas Megillah Chatkili require Amida. So we saw that Kriyas Megillah is also a kiyum of Kriyas HaTorah under the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. No, but the Torah himself holds that with regard to Kriyas HaTorah, we must have Amida. That's an absolutely indispensable requirement. So why in Megillah does he say that b'dieved you can be yotzei be yeshiva? Why is the Torah in Kriyas HaTorah he maintains that Amida is absolutely critical? We're saying that in Megillah the Torah requires l'chatchila Amida because there's also an element of Kriyas HaTorah. Why is that only l'chatchila? That should be ma'akiv even b'dieved. So I thought the answer to this question would be simply that the reason why the Torah has to say it's only l'chatchila is because we have another kiyum of Mikra Megillah as Persumei Nisa. And as Persumei Nisa, there is no difference between Amida and Yeshiva. But he wants to take it here in a different direction. He's got a Shilta Giborim who says the following, that there's no difference between Amida and Yeshiva with regard to Kriyas HaMegillah. And here the Shilta Giborim jumps with an equation, with an analogy to Kriyas HaHalel. And he says that in Kriyas HaHalel, Ratzel Lekrosa Miyushav Rishus B'yado. And there's an analogy, an equation here that's implicit, or almost explicit, in the Shilta Giborim between Kriyas HaMegillah and Halel. And since Halel is okay be yeshiva, so too Kriyas HaMegillah is okay be yeshiva. So the Gevuras Yitzchak says, what's the underlying logic of this, underlies this comparison, this analogy? The answer is that we paskin, the Rambam paskins in Perek Gimel Chesugil, like Rav Nachman, who says Kriyas Zui Hilula, that Erech Hinam Yom Purim, we're obligated in Halel, but we fulfill that mitzvah of Halel through the Kriyas HaMegillah. The e-nema, the Kriyas HaHalel Tzarch Lios Bamida, is then Mikra Megillah would also require Amida, so far as Mikra Megillah is the kiyum of Halel. But since, says the Shilta Giborim, Kriyas HaMegillah does not require Amida, therefore Mikra Megillah does not require Amida. Ulazek Kosav, in the last two lines on the page, Kosav HaShilta Giborim, the Kriyas HaMegillah lo tzarech lios b'Amida, Kriyas HaHalel, excuse me, lo tzarech lios b'Amida, and therefore, Mikra Megillah, which is a kiyum of Halel, does not require Amida. However, in Or HaChaim, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Mitzvahs Kriyas HaHalel, this is in Hilchos Halel, in Siman Tov Chav Beis, he says, Mitzvahs Kriyas HaHalel Me'umot, that Kriyas HaHalel should be recited by Amida. And the Prima Gadim says that although your yotzei b'dieved b'yeshiva in the case of Halel, nevertheless l'chatchila you do require Amida. So therefore, we have a kasha now on the Shilta Giborim, because it's not really a kasha on the Shilta Giborim, because the Shilta Giborim is not committed to this view of the Shulchan Aruch and the Prima Gadim that Kriyas Al requires Amidah L'chatchila. He, the Shulchan Gemara, is of the opinion that Kriyas Al does not require Amidah. But if we go with the Shita of the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Halel or the Prima Gadim, that L'chatchila you should be standing for Halel, and if we assume that Kriyas HaMegillah is a key of Halel, then certainly we should want to stand for Kriyas HaMegillah. And here he quotes Rabbi Meir Simcha. Rabbi Meir Simcha bases himself on a sugya Megillah Daf Chaf Amid Beis as far as Laila is concerned. The Gemara establishes, based on Psukim, that Hal has to be read during the day and not at night. So what that means is that when we say Kriyasa Zui Hilula, that would only apply to Kriyasa Megillah by day, which would mean that if Kriyasa Halal, according to the Shulchan Aruch and the Prima Gadim, requires Amida, then Mikra Megillah would also require Amida, Lichatchila, but only by Yom, because there's no Halal Balayla. That's what the Arsamech proves from a Sugya Megillah Daf Chaf Amid Beis. But the problem is, there is Kriyas HaHalal at night, and that's Leil HaPesach. Oh, so the answer is that that there are two categories of Halal. There's one category called Kriyas HaHalal, and that requires what? Day. And then there's a different concept of Halal, which he doesn't use the word Shira, he says Halal Anes, and that's the Halal of Leil Pesach, because that's the night that we went out of Mitzrayim, and that's the night of Makas Bechoros. That's called Halal Anes. So if the Halal is a Kriyas HaHalal, let's say on Yontif we have to read Halal, then we have to read Halal during the day and not at night. And that Gemara derives from Sukkim and Megillah Daf Chaf Amud Beis. But if you're talking about Halal Anes can be recited even at night. And therefore, if we take the case of Purim, then we can recite the Megillah at night, and it could nevertheless be a kiyum of Kriyas Zui Lula. You'll ask me at night, well, where's the mitzvah of Halal at night? The answer is, if it's Halal Mishum Nes, then it applies even at night, and the precedent for that is going to be the Halal of Leil HaPesach. Now, if you fast forward to the last paragraph, Ulefi Amavur, he says, Nire, Tiyesh Lomar, so now he's swinging back to the Shulchan Aruch and the Prima Gadim's view that Kriyas HaHalal L'chatchila requires Amida. That can shed a light on the tour. Why is it that the tour requires Amida in Kriyas HaMegillah L'chatchila? After all, we spent a lot of time proving that Kriyas HaMegillah is a mitzvah pirsum anes. So one answer, one approach could have been with the Rav Beryl Soloveitchik, that there's an additional element in Kriyas HaMegillah of Torah. But that's a problematic approach, because in Torah, the requirement of Amida in Kriyas HaTorah, according to the Torah, is me'akev, it's absolutely critical. Here, in Megillah, he's only requiring l'chatchila. So we have to derive the conclusion that according to the tour, Kriyas HaMegillah is B'toras Pirsum Anes, and it's not B'toras Kriyas HaTorah. If it was B'toras Kriyas HaTorah, then the Amida requirement would be critical, would be indispensable. But now we're saying no, that as far as Kriyas HaTorah is concerned, there is no requirement of Amida in Kriyas HaMegillah, because we're reading it not as Torah, but as Pirsum Anes. But why then does the tour require L'chatchila Amida? The answer is because the kiyum of Halel, of Kriyas HaZui Lula, and the tour adopts the sheet of the Shulchan Aruch that Halel requires at least L'chatchila Amida. Is Kevin Shek Kriyas HaMegillah Bein B'yom Bein B'layla have a kiyum Shel Kriyas Halel L'chein Ein Karnes HaMegillah K'shu Yoshev but rather K'shu Omed. So again, Rabbi Osei, I ask you if you've ever seen this. And it's a little bit of tamua that we've never seen such a thing. I don't know if anybody who stands. I mean, there are a few people who stand at the Amud, you know, to sarsurim, you know, to help out the Balkorin. But the rest of the tzibur is sitting. Maybe because we're too weak to stand. I don't know. But there is a double-barreled reason to stand. And it's all in the Torah. The Torah requires standing in Chathil, but there's some compelling logic to that, either because of Kriyas HaTorah. And again, let's say Kriyas HaTorah, B'Yeshiva, Yotzei, B'Dievet, or because of the din of Kriyas HaZui Lula, because Halal Chathil requires Amidah. So there are a number of reasons why we should be standing for Kriyas HaMegillah. I'm not sure what I'm going to do this per. I'm getting very confused. Again, B'Torah's Pesumei Nisa, you would obtain the mitzvah, and Rashi says no difference between Amidah and Yeshiva. He says, Mitzad Hadin Kriyas HaHal Sheyesh Lo B'Kriyas HaMegillah, you require L'Chatchila Amidah. However, the Iker mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah is Mishum Pesumei Nisa, and there is no din of Amidah, even L'Chatchila. And this should be a kasha on the tour, because the tour says Chathil, you need Amidah. The Mishnah says Amidah and Yeshiva both equal. The answer is that the Tana wants to teach me that the din of Kriyas HaMegillah B'Torah's Pirsum HaNes does not require Amidah. The Tana is not talking about the additional kiyum of Halel B'Torah's Kriyasa Zui Hilul. As far as that kiyum is concerned, then l'chatchil you need Amidah, but the Eved you would be Yotze Halel even Bishni. So now Rav Mosai, for the balance of our time together, let's go through the Pachad Yitzchak. I always like to integrate these two elements into the Shia. Question is, where did I put down my Pachad Yitzchak? If not, I'll just take one of the, if there's an extra photocopy.
Was it
2 pages?
Or
it should be 2 pages, yeah.
Which pages is it?
Now, if you have the stapled version, you have the stapled version?
Yeah,
okay, you have the stapled version. So then, there's a double, you know, on two sides of the same page, you have the same thing. So that was just a fluke, that was just an error. Okay.
Which number?
All right, just take the copy. I'll tell you in just a second, as soon as I get my copy or a photocopy. You know what? I have a feeling I left it in the office when I did my photocopying. Lenny, do me a favor. If you're going out anyway, just see right in front of the. On the right side, there's a table near the photocopy machine. If you happen to see my Pachad Yitzchak there.
The Sefer itself.
If not, I'll read it from the copy, but...
Did somebody go out, or are you talking to me?
No, I'm sorry. I meant to say Lenny. I'm sorry.
So this is in you.
Oh, I was there?
Yeah.
Okay. That makes me happy, because I don't want to lose this. Okay. Now we're starting with a medrash, and the medrash is also quoted in the sugya in the Gemara, based on a pasuk in Tehillim, "Ro kol afse aretz, v'ro kol afse aretz, es yeshuas Elokeinu." And the Gemara Megillah on Daf Yud Aleph says, "Emasai ro kol afse aretz es Yeshua Salokeinu." When was there an actual fulfillment of this pasuk in Tehillim? Bimei Mordechai v'Esther. Now, the simple pshat in afse haaretz would be referring to people, maybe far-flung people who are on the ends of the earth, so to speak. But we're going to study the Pachad Yitzchak. He has a whole new interpretation, a whole new take on Afse Ha'aretz. Now, as I've said to you over and over again, the style of the Pachad Yitzchak is that his opening sentence or question or paragraph has to be sort of locked up, you know, placed on the lock and key until we make a full swing around to come back to it. So in order to understand this pasuk, Vero Kolaf Seoritz, we have to go on a teal, so to speak. We have to go on a whole journey. And that journey begins with a very cryptic or mysterious Gemara in Masechta Brachos, which establishes a principle that goes as follows, that to the same extent that we, as Jewish people, we fulfill the mitzvahs Hashem, then Kaviyachal HaKadosh Baruch Hu also fulfills the mitzvah Hashem. The Gemara specifically hones in on tefillin. And we wear tefillin, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin. Again, Lenny, you'll ask me the question, where does HaKadosh Baruch Hu put on his tefillin? I don't know. That question I can't answer you. That needs...
We just know what's in his tefillin.
Oh, the Gemara asks the question, what's in his tefillin? That the Gemara does ask. And the Gemara says that what's in God's tefillin is a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. Umi ki amcha Yisrael goy echad ba'aretz. Okay, so we have a concept here of... Are you familiar with this phrase? When I was a kid, this was a very popular phrase. I don't know if it... A mutual admiration society. Yeah. Do you remember that phrase? Yeah? Maybe it's from the Brits, I don't know. But mutual admiration society. So this is all about a mutual admiration society. He calls it Zel Umas Zeh, which means it's sort of like a mirror image. When we fulfill mitzvahs of Hashem, we're doing it as an act of glorifying Almighty. So in our tefillin, we're going to talk about the greatness and the glory of Hashem, and that's going to be indicated in the psukim in our tefillin. In God's tefillin, Zelu Umaseh, it's going to reveal or express the glory of Klal Yisrael. And this he formulates about the sixth line down. He says, "Lumat hatfil shalonu shekos ben kvodo yisparach." There, we're speaking about the kavod of Hashem. The tefillin of Mari D'Alma, the Ribbono Shel Olam, has kvod shel Yisrael. Now, at this point, I would press the return button. Now he starts another paragraph. I don't know why he integrates this. When we speak about mitzvos, what's the magic number that you think of?
613.
He says it's much more profound than that. There are mitzvahs that go way, way beyond Taryak. And what is that called? That's called Bechol Drachecha Da'ev, which, if I'm not mistaken, is a pasuk in Mishlei. Let me just double check that. Okay, he doesn't tell you here, unfortunately, but I'm pretty sure it's a pasuk in Mishlei. And the Rambam dedicates an entire chapter in Hilchas Deos, Perek Gimel, to how to fulfill this mandate of Bechol Drachecha Da'ev. And basically, it means the following. Oh, I finally found it. It's in Mishlei, Perek Gimel. Okay, I didn't see it before. All of human activity can be subsumed under one of two categories. Well, I'm not talking about averos, but I'm talking about in a positive sense. Okay, there's always the negative, but that's not what we were addressing now. Number one, mitzvos, which means my obligation. This is what the Torah explicitly mandates. And then there's a whole nother constellation, a whole nother system, which is called Bechol Drachecha Da'ehu, meaning Asiyas Divrei Reshus L'Shem Shamayim. So, for example, I come home for dinner, and my wife serves me, this is hopeful thinking, a piece of steak, right? Now, you can look at it in one of two ways. You could say, well, it's irrelevant, meaning it's not a religious act. You know, you like steak, eat steak. Or you can upgrade and transform that very achila of a steak into a L'Shem Shamayim. If you eat it L'Shem Shamayim, you know, you want to make brachas, and you want to appreciate God, you want to get strength and healthy, and fulfill mitzvahs, and so forth and so on, now it becomes Bechol Drachecha Da'ehu. It means that I can use any action as a stepping stone to fulfill this mitzvah of Bechol Drachecha Da'ehu. And now the Divrei Reshus, since they're being implemented L'Shem Shamayim, it now becomes a kiyuma mitzvah. So when you list the 613 mitzvahs, that's a very, you know, that's a very partial, myopic view of things. You know, if you think that, oh, the total number of ma'aseh mitzvahs in the Torah is 613, or let's say 248, whatever, it's not so, because anything a person engages in, any action, any behavior, can be upgraded to the level of a kiyuma mitzvah. How? By having in mind the Shem Shammai. Oh, so now, Rav Huda wants to know, if there's a parallel between our mitzvos and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu also implements mitzvahs, is there a parallel to B'chol Drachecha Da'eru? Meaning, we have another expansion of mitzvah in which we take a Dvar Rishus and we upgrade it to the status of a mitzvah. Is there a mirror image on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's part where he too, Kaviyachol, is involved in a Dvar Rishus, but yet it becomes like our B'chol Drachecha Da'eru? Now, in order to answer that question, the Pachad Yitzchak points out the difference between Pesach and Purim. Okay? Now, if I were to ask you about, you know, the classification of Pesach and the miracles of Pesach as opposed to Purim and the miracle of Purim, what would be your automatic response? The question is whether it's what's called a Nes Golui or a Nes Nigla. Do you remember that? Yeah. The Ramban makes a big, big deal about this in Parshas Bo, actually, Lesh Shabbos. He says that we look out at nature, we see sometimes supernatural events, miracles that abrogate, that undermine the laws of nature. Those are Nisim Gluyim, or Nisim Mefursamim. Anybody, you know, anybody who sees Kriyas Yamsuf, he sees a nest. There's no reason why the, you know, according to the laws of biology of nature, it should split. But then we have a different kind of a nest, a whole different category, and that's what Purim is all about. Do you see any miracles in Purim? Is there any deviation from the laws of nature? It's called a nest Nistar. And that's what he summarizes here in Os Beis. He says the difference between Mitzrayim and Paras is that with regard to Mitzrayim, everything is Derech Nisim Gluyim. With regard to the Yeshua and Paras, here we're talking about Nisim HaMelubashim B'mahalech HaTeva. We're talking about Nisim Nistarim. Says Rav Huda, that's the classical understanding and the answer to the question, what's the contrast, the difference between Yeshua's Mitzrayim, Yeshua's Paras? But perhaps there's a much, much more profound difference between the two. And what we're grabbing onto is only the simonim chitzonim. We'll only look at the symptoms. We're not getting down to the cause, to the more fundamental, below the surface, you know, the core of the earth. Okay. Now, let's talk about the difference between what's called mitzvos and b'chol drachecha da'eim and divrei rishus l'shem shamayim. He says the following. We divide time into past, present, and future. At what point would you say that a mitzvah is meaningful? Which of the three time dimensions? Let's say I put on tefillin now. When is it meaningful? Present. Past, future, present. Immediately. When I do the mitzvah, I've clinched a mitzvah, a ratzon of Hashem. Not so in the case of Divrei Rishus L'Shem Shamayim. He says the following. In Divrei Rishus L'Shem Shamayim, we need the future. Yeah, this should be good for Moshe. Do we have the right page?
Yes.
Okay. If not, there's an extra copy on that desk, so we're certainly covered. He says the following. Ve'ilu Asiyas Dvivrei Rishus, if you're on page Nun Aleph, you're counting up four lines from the end of the page, L'Shem Shamayim, Habirur, the clarification to establish beyond the shadow of a doubt that what I did was a mitzvah, that clarification is Eino Mofia El Liachar Zman, Liachar Mikan. No, it's only down the future.
Dirur.
In other words, when I... Let me give you an example. I don't remember if he gives an example. Just one second. Okay, let me go back to my example of eating a steak. I don't think that he gives an example.
The destination?
Not the destination. Listen carefully, Yosef. When I eat a steak and I'm saying, well, this steak is going to give me the ability and the energy to do mitzvahs and so on, my eating of the steak b'shaito, in its moment, meaning in the present, is not necessarily a mitzvah. I can only clarify that. I can only establish that down the line. If I follow through, do you follow what I mean by follow through? And I actually
do that.
I do that, right? I enhance my l'shem shamayim, my fulfillment of God's will. Then l'mafreha, retroactively, whatever I did was a dvar mitzvah. In its time, I really don't know. I still have to put my finger on the pulse. And I have to wait to see what's going to do. He calls it in the second line before the end of the paragraph, Toli V'Omen. Do you have that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you can underline those two words, Toli V'Omen. Toli V'Omen means it's like hanging in suspension. And we need a birur. You asked me before, what is a birur? Mm-hmm. Birur means we're going to have to clarify, did this asiya in fact
materialize,
play the role to Shamish? Did it actually function as a makshir, as a preparation for tzorchei shamayim? Because again, in and of itself, the action that I'm engaged in is not a mitzvah. The Torah nowhere mandated me to do this action. But let's see down the line if it's a machshir l'tzorchei shamayim, right? If it made me healthy, I can appreciate God's world, I have more energy to do mitzvahs, I can fulfill God's will. That's called a machshir. So whereas, you know, in halacha, for example, we always differentiate between a ma'isa mitzvah and a hechsher mitzvah. He's saying that with regard to taryag, we're talking about a ma'isa mitzvah, which means in and of itself, immediately with its fulfillment, with its implementation, it's a mitzvah. Then we can talk about a machshir. We can talk about b'chol drachecha da'ehu. We're involved, engaged in a dvar reshus. Well, you want to tell me that let's upgrade that dvar reshus to a mitzvah? Hold on a second. Maybe yes, maybe no. Time will tell. We're going to have to wait to see whether or not, in fact, this hechsher was a hechsher mitzvah. What I did it prepare for a mitzvah, or did it not? So let's say I would clean up the beis medrash, right? So if people come in and learn, and now they're sitting in a clean beis medrash, so then, igloy milsim afreya, that what I did by cleaning up, I spent effort and energy in cleaning up the place, it was a hechsher for a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And you can apply this ad infinitum. He says that if my asiya turned out to be behet aim liritzono, we're turning now to page nun beis, if this asiya turned out to be a successful preparation for the fulfillment of God's will, then it's a mitzvah. But if unfortunately it never panned out, and for whatever reason it never was a machshir l'tzorchei shamayim, then, you know, it's neutral or maybe even negative because I didn't fulfill my obligation of b'chol drachecha da'ehu. So now he says the following, that there's something called divrei reshus, and divrei reshus, which is a phrase that appears all over in Chazal, means an avoda, the significance of which is only going to be determined down the line. It's only when we get to the future, then retroactively, we can convert or transform the Divrei Reshus into Dvar Mitzvah. Okay.
When he says, does he mean it's like a waste of potential?
Right. Because the Torah says, every single action you engage in should be done l'shem shamayim. Here's an opportunity.
Yeah.
And if you miss up on that opportunity, that's against the Ritzono. Again, he goes a little bit far here. I would have been more comfortable just to say that he was mavatal a mitzvah.
He didn't make it.
He didn't make it. But he's saying a little bit more sharp, you know, that it's you know, when you miss an opportunity, that's called a bittel mitzvah. One second, I'm trying to remind myself what the next point was. It's really the almas and the issues going to be. Oh, so he says the following, that if we're discussing what he calls mili di alma, mili di alma means if I talk to you about the weather conditions, right? I talk to you about sports or whatever subject matter that has nothing to do with shamayim. So then the phrase divrei reshus means exactly what it means. You know, this is parva, this is neutral, it has no significance as far as the mili shamayim is concerned. But we can also use the same phrase divrei reshus in a totally different context, not in mili di alma. I'm not just talking about sports. I'm talking about something that has a relation to avoda, and that means it has a relation to Ratzon Hashem, and it means that I can take this Dvar Rishus and in the context of Mila Dishmaya, I can elevate it to the status of a Ratzon, of a fulfillment of Ratzon Hashem. He says b'mili Dishmaya. Lo yitochen lomar shenimtza hu inyan kazeh she'enu nogea klal ratzon Hashem. When we talk about divrei reshus in the context of mila d'shmaya, we don't mean that God couldn't care less whether you engage in this action or you do not. But rather, what we mean is that dvar reshus binyoni avoda ein perusho el she'en yichus shetav ezel ratzon mevur li'alter. All we mean by calling it a dvar reshus is to say that right now it's not clear. It hasn't been established as a mitzvah, as opposed to the other 613 actions, where b'shas ma'isa it's absolutely clear that he's fulfilling a mitzvah. Okay, so when you the phrase divrei reshus could be used in different contexts, could mean totally different, two different things. Sometimes divrei reshus means it's irrelevant; it has no relationship whatsoever to Ratzon Hashem, to mila d'shmaya. That's not what we're talking about in this mimer here. What we're learning about is divrei reshus in mili d'shmaya, which means that I'm adding an element into the equation of l'shem shamayim, and it's only called divrei reshus because, in contrast to a mitzvah which immediately is a dvar mitzvah, here it's not immediately a dvar mitzvah. We have to wait, and time will tell. Okay. Now we get back to the following issue. What is the parallel up in Shamayim, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, to our B'chol Drachecha Da'evi? You remember that God does mitzvos, and His mitzvos are l'kvod, for the glory of Israel. What about B'chol Drachecha Da'evi? Is there any parallel? Are there any situations in which God, so to speak, engages in something that's a dvar reshus, but it may become later down the line clarified as a mitzvah? He says the following: B'shosh kvodim shel Yisrael ola mitoch ma'ora hamagala es kvod hazel atar. There are some actions that a Kadosh Baruch Hu engages in, which immediately, in Yiddish we say afen art, if you're familiar with that phrase.
What is that?
Off an art, meaning immediately, it's a revelation of Kvod Yisrael. However, there are other actions that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, B'Hashgachas HaPratis, that you don't see the Kvod Yisrael in the action itself. You know, the action that God engages in, to the extent that He intervenes in the natural course of events, is not clearly a revelation or an expression of the covenant of Klal Yisrael. It's only later on, down the line, that there'll be a birur lemafreya, that when we combine a whole series of events, a whole sequence of events, now with this cause and that effect and so forth and so on, we realize that what God was engaged in was b'chol drachecha da'eu, meaning He was engaged in kvod shel Yisrael, and we couldn't have known it, because the action per se was not l'kvod shel Yisrael. There was no immediate result of glory of Israel.
Each event of the Megillah.
Oh, now we're beginning to see the difference between Mitzrayim and Paras. In the case of Mitzrayim, it's going to be mamish a mitzvah, meaning the kvod shel Yisrael is immediate. You know, God splits the sea, and then the Egyptians go down, and we cross through the dry land. that's a mitzvah per se. I don't have to wait for any birur. It's kvodom shel Yisrael, and God is, so to speak, performing a mitzvah of zelum matzeh, like our mitzvahs. He's doing it with kvodom shel Yisrael. However, in the case of paras, when it's not clear in any single action, right, the whole Megillah and the whole Hatzol and Yeshua of in Paras is an integration of many different events, none of which in them of themselves would indicate the Yeshua Purim. He says, about seven lines up before the end of the paragraph, he says, Kol ma'orek shili atzma, any event in and of itself, if you isolate it, he hanhagas yom yom. You know, so Vashti was killed, and Bigson the Seraphim was rebelling, and so on and so on. Ein shum heker l'kvodim shel Yisrael. Right? When Vashti is put to death, you know, that's not l'kvodim shel Yisrael. When Bigson the Seraphim decide to kill the king, that's not l'kvodim. Rak mitoch pokas kol ha'oros yakad, meaning when we gather together and sew together all the events, then it's tarfusom zelazeh. Now we begin to appreciate the nest, which is the kvodim shel Yisrael. So the kvodim shel Yisrael is not clear until we finally get to the end of this long road, you know, the final station of the locomotive. Then we begin to see that the entire sequence of events was one long chain. He calls it a shalshelet. And then at that point we realize the mafreya, that every single element or every single episode in the Megillah was l'shem kvodom shel Yisrael. And this is the exact parallel to what we call Dvar Rishus, or B'chol Drachech Do'eyu, on our side of the equation. On Hashem's side of the equation, it's the covered Yisrael through a Dvar Rishus, which meaning that only after the Tziruf and the integration of many different individual events that we get to see the entire picture where things were going, then we see that it's the kvod shel Yisrael. And now we're up to page Nun Gimel. He says that this is really what the Gemara meant in Megillah Yud Aleph that we started with. The ro kol afse aretz es Yeshus Elokeinu Emosai. That's at the time of Mordechai and Esther. What does the word Ephes mean? So the word Ephes lends itself to two interpretations. It could be the end of the world, meaning geographically, you know. Well, what should we call it? I don't want to call it Australia. I don't know if there are any Australians here. No. What's the end of the world?
New Zealand.
New Zealand, right. That's why they say the Holocaust survivors, you know, in droves, they gravitated towards those parts of the world. So some say it's because those are the countries that let them in. But that's true also. But there's another reason. Some say psychologically they just want to be far away from the world. The world is so full of hatred. He says that the word Ephes means also libasof. It means far-flung, not just in terms of location, but far-flung in terms of a time sequence. It's the sofo shel kol davar. It's the end of an entire long chain of events. And that's called close to afisoso. Afisoso means the end, right? At the end of the process. That's the entire thrust of the chiddush of Yeshua Mordechai v'Esther, that in the nature of this miracle, it's a Yeshua which can only be understood and appreciated be'afsehar. It's at the end of the whole process. And that's going to be the gilul and the birur l'mafreya of the Yeshua Purim. That's the b'chol drachecha do'eyu of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God is now fulfilling, so to speak, the mitzvah kamiyachol b'chol drachecha do'eyu in a very unique way in the Yeshua of Purim. And therefore the whole birur of the Yeshua of Purim is only the afsehar. It's at the very end of the whole process, l'mafreya. And he finally concludes this beautiful maimer by saying that when we ask a person at the end of his judgment, Sipisul Yeshua, he says Sipisul Yeshua means that in the case of Purim, you saw all these events, you experienced them as individual occurrences. Wayu mitzapel Yeshua. Did you realize that all these events, which on this tarot, they're not obviously, you know, l'chvodom shel Yisrael in its time, but tzipisul Yeshua. And tzipisul Yeshua plays a very important role when it comes to the Nes of Purim, because we have to wait till the afse aretz in order to appreciate the Yeshua. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu, when he's mekayim the mitzvah b'chol drachecha, da'eu specifically in a very unique way through the Yishuv Purim, there's a biral mafreya, and that's going to be what we call afsei oretz. The ro kol afsei oretz. This is our fulfillment of tzipis olam Yishuv.
That's why I have the concept of
Avla Yada.
Until the very end.
Right. Until the very end.